Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Bernice Seminole, Northern Arapaho. Chinupa Gluhamani co-hosts every Friday and Saturday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Guests from various Native tribes and states. Talks include a variety of injustices encompassing the Native Americans and reservations nationwide. Is there anybody on, Chinupa? Would anybody like to introduce themselves?
Yeah, Bernice, this is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, calling in from Northwest Montana, the Blackfeet Nation Reservation.
Thank you. 505, could you identify yourself?
Yeah, this is Etta Arviso from the Netra from New Mexico.
Well, welcome. So would anybody like to start?
Yeah, this is Jenny. I'll start. Chinupa said he'll be a little bit late, but he'll be on. There's just a lot to really share, even though we feel like we shared a lot, but never feel like we never shared enough, you know?
Yeah. So since I wasn't here last week, could you just kind of briefly give me a recap of what was talked about last week, Jenny?
Well, you know, for me, it's always about the tradition.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are sharing our knowledge to help each other, you know what I mean? I always focus on our people because our people are the ones that understand what we're saying, what we're sharing. And like I always never forget to share it also, you know, for myself. It's not that I had to make a choice because that choice was always within me. And mine was always about to know our traditions, our understandings, our teachings, or stories, what they really mean. It's not, you know, nothing that we're reading out of a book, because that book, it's when it's within ourselves, which I was always understood that way by our grandmothers. Is the wisdom is what you carry, and that wisdom is supposed to be for your people.
Mm-hmm.
And I never ever understood anything out of a book. I never had to learn off of YouTube. None of it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we say, you know, that just us being on here to share what we understand, it for me, it brings back my childhood again. It brings back my grandparents again. It brings back my mom and my father, my uncles and everything, my aunts. That all of this was being shown by them when I was young. But I would tell people I'd rather have my children learn our traditional teachings than a modern day education. Because if not, then what are we really talking about then? And one thing that still gets me, and hopefully somebody could help me with that answer, is about our people, our younger generation. They're confused because they're being told one thing and then showing something different. And what I mean by that is they're, even for myself, I kind of get confused at times by our own people. Because first they're talking tradition, but they're preaching religion. And right there, it gets to me because how are these younger ones going to learn tradition if they can't teach without putting in a European religion?
Exactly.
Huh?
Yep, I agree.
And that question, I still have that, you know, carry that. Well, what is it, you know? What is it? What is it that these younger ones really need to know? Because even the older generation, like I always say, they talk all traditional. They can have the language. They can have the song. They can have the history, the stories, everything. But there's always one that, you know, they're going to fail. You know? And they'll start talking religion. You know? But, gee, you had all that, and now you're talking religion. Huh? So even with that. And then you have one that don't have the language. They hear the song. They could sing with the song, but only when they're being sung, they can't sing them by themselves. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The stories are only to be kept, you know, at the ceremony where they come from. Mm-hmm. They could have all that, but they won't have the language. But why is that? But no, those are the ones that are not liars, they're not deniers, they don't cheat, they don't, you know, do all the things to hurt another person. Mm-hmm. But still they'll say, well, you need the language. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is, that's why I say the younger ones are really going to be confused if we don't try to help them to understand our stories. Mm-hmm.
I guess my thing is, I hear what you're saying, and at the same time, I often wonder in the back of my mind how we can educate our younger generation, because like today, for instance, today is Christmas. It's another European holiday, and personally, I don't celebrate. But because I raise a grandson, how do I get him to understand this isn't a part of our lifestyle and never was, but it's a forced tradition? So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, even with the Christmas star, they call it the Christmas star, and they said you wouldn't be able to witness that, what, 800 years ago?
Uh-huh.
And then I questioned that, too. I said, okay, well, then our people were here thousands of years, right here on Trudeau Island, and how many times have they witnessed it? Many times. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
But they could only count for 800 years. Huh? And our people knew no such thing as Christmas right here.
Yeah.
And that isn't a teaching, too. You know, all of that's like the grandfather, their teaching was about the star nations, the constellations, they were the sky, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandmas were earth teachers, and the Turtle Island teachers. Huh?
Yeah.
And those are the stories that I'd like for our younger ones to hear more, you know, and how it goes together. Hmm? In those days, they're coming back, even whether people understand it or not. It's already here.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We've got a caller from area code 508. Do you want to get on and tell us your name and your tribe and where you're calling in from? Okay, they went offline. So I guess they don't want to talk. Okay, but so like last week, I really missed out on two shows just because of what was going on and happening at the time. But I'm back today, and I sure would like to, you know more about what was talked last week.
Well, it just mainly the same, sharing what was going on in our locations and what. And what our people need to really start waking up and, you know, understanding it. And what we need to do, we need to start doing it. Even like when you heard from Charles, how he said the same thing, you know, and I've been saying that for years too. Why are we waiting for somebody else to hear us when we need to do it ourselves? And what is it that we need to do? You know, everybody talks about independence. Okay, well, the ones that are not depending on a system are those the ones that need to become independent? And what is independence?
And how do we get started? How do the rest of the tribe get started?
And our people claim they're independent, but I say, okay, maybe you can be independent. I can be independent as myself, you know, as a single woman, you know? But how do you form a whole tribe to become that, what you're talking about? And how I look at it is we have to build a food source, mainly a food source. For us up here, where we're located at the headwaters. So our water is just right there at the mountains, the Glacier National Park. So it's the cleanest water we have up this way coming from the headwaters. So we have the water rights, but for us, we need to create a food source.
That would be fantastic. Chinupa, are you here yet?
That's a buffalo.
Yes, I'm here. I just clicked in, and I'm driving. I'm coming back from Cheyenne River. I had to take some Christmas candy bags to my brother Bryce to give his people and shit, and just moving as always. I've been doing that all morning long, man, being on Pine Ridge and heading all over the place. Weather's pretty nice. It was 50-something degrees. You know, I don't know how it started out with the opening show, but I was telling Jenny to do a prayer, but I don't know if she did. But, you know, she said something that I caught listening in. There's a way to do things and there's a way not to do things, okay? And I choose to not do things because that's the independent structure, okay? And then she did mention something about food, which is true. And we have a hard time operating the show because Sister Leona gave us an opportunity to have indigenous voices of people. That's why it's called that, indigenous voices of people. So by starting off with the interviews and talking with other tribes coming in and so forth. I hope Etta comes on. I don't know. If I lose receptions because I'm driving, I'm almost back home. Got another few miles to go before I get there. But needless to say, we are all in the same predicament at the discretion of how America did us when they took that name and forced it upon everybody, including our own, you know, indigenous tribes that once lived in vast areas. But when you pay attention to the East Coast, just for a matter of, you know, whatever type of understanding you think you could see when you hear people say, I'm a Cherokee princess, or whatever, it's always that. Oh, my great-grandfather, grandmother was Cherokee. Okay, all right, okay, well, to me, that's just the propaganda. There's a young lady out there in Indian country going by some lone wolf. She's an African sister, but she also has Native blood in her. So this is what she's saying out there in the media and everything. But people are flocking to her because of her image. She puts her regalia on, beaded crowns and stuff, and I see this happening, but I don't know her. Then I was doing research on her to find her where she really fit in at. And her mother, her late mother, God rest her mother's soul, she looks like one of us, but it's hard to really predict this understanding if it's real, because this is what happens in Indian country. I hate that crass term of America because everybody flocks to that all the time. When we were carted away from our families during the relocation era, a lot of us went in different states and never came back. Some passed on out there. They never had their bodies exhumed and sent back to the reservations, like Lost Bird when we brought her back from Europe. The understanding I'm contributing to tonight is because of we have so much things going on, even like the gift giving. It's a Christmas day. People, you know, all walks of life in Tona, even us native people, indigenous people, we're into it too. Now, I often wonder, why was this a separation from the spiritual connection we once had as a free people? And the reason why I say that is because with mystery, we are taught that he moves things, which I'm confident in seeing him during my time when I fasted and went up on the hill for 4 days, 4 nights. I seen him. He's real, so there's no questions there. But within this time frame of the spiritual awakening coming back, our sister, our grandma's sister, Etta, from down south, she talks about this. And every time when we get into these kind of things, it goes back to food, okay? When we were reduced from our food, when the buffalo, imagine, 68 million head of buffalo. This was once roaming here. There was a north herd and an east herd. You know, these herds, they went through here, meaning south. I should have said south, but like I said, I'm driving. But when you had the south and north herd, they passed each other. They intermingled with each other and made more productivity of creating more calves. So we had a staple food diet that we were healthy. We lived clear up to be 120-something years old. Now when they took our food source away from us, we're barely making it past 95. So there is something going on here with the spiritual stuff. And you hear a lot of our elders say this. And I'll say it in Lakota because it's the only way to express it that way, and it's easier for people to understand. I break it down. Our elders say this. Halo kile wachin. Nehetrans ewateke. Dakomene ni wa unkte. Tokata kia wakhaz alena chik chik ala wanspeki. Chib hunter mecha o spech hawkingte. Meaning, if
oh, he must have hit a dead zone. 9840, would you like to jump in and say something? Jenny?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So there's, let's see. There's only you and 9840 on. So if 9840 wants to get on and say something.
Okay. This is Etta. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening to all our relatives across the nation and the country and the territory that we live. And we still honor our treaty. We still honor our country, our nation, and sovereignty. And I think as individual, we understand that. But on the other hand, with the so-called leadership within our governments does not really understand that. But some of us under the fundamental law, our natural laws, we understand that. And and I think we are very fortunate to experience what we are seeing right now in our lifetime. And they said, 800 years ago, and each tribe has, like our earth people, Nahakat Dene is what we're called, not just Navajo. The Navajo was just thrown in there by the Hispanic and the white people. So, you know, as what I know from our elders and the story and things they share is this is not just today for us. It's every day. Every day we honor, value each other. We still help each other. We do things, and some of us are taught not to just look at each other to help give a hand. We still practice that. And however way we can deliver food due to what came around us. But getting back to what we have, what we see now is a story, names for every stars. And that's the way our songs and our prayers, you know, connect. And I know other tribes are the same. And we got to share that. So what we did, I think that was Monday, I got a text at 7:03 in the morning by one of the DJs from the radio station from Farmington, New Mexico, to get a hold of one of our traditional practitioner, our Hatahi, our medicine man. Medicine men are called Hatahis. And so he wanted to get him on due to our story, our winter story, our story to people were talking about Jupiter, you know, and also the shining star, what are they calling them, Christmas star in English. But he talked about the way the stars move, the way the sun moves, you know, from summer to winter, and also the seasons, how it changes. So our elder came on the radio and actually was given, came on about 9:15 to 9:30. And he covered a lot within that time that he was given. So, that's the way, you know, the DJ, that's a manager, he's a Dene. So, you know, he's in contact. He knows that when he needs prayer, you know, he'll text me or he'll let me know. So I'm glad that this young person is got to be in his, probably 50s, and understanding and actually sharing that, wanting to put that on the program. So, which is good. And, you know, it was all spoken in our Dene language and then a little by English to explain. So that's what we did this past week. It was very nice. And due to not just the celebration of the European way like today, and our traditional practitioner explained ours is every day. It never ends. So, which is good. That's the way we got to look at it and keep, you know, highlighting those things to our youth. Thank you.
Thank you. Chinupa, are you back?
Yeah, I am. I was listening to Esther. That was beautiful. You know, in reference to, you know, a lot of our traditional stories and sharing our knowledge with our children and the youth, you know, that are coming behind us and so forth. I remember one time my grandmother told me this story, and it had to do with a group of warrior men that went out to go hunt in the wintertime. And during that time, my grandma said this, she said, during the seasons, as they knew they were going to change into cold, she said all the bugs, the insects got together to prepare for themselves because of winter months to come. And she said, this Wabalushka, meaning a cricket, this Wabalushka told his Kola, meaning the Gnugnushka. The Gnugnushka is the grasshopper. So Wabalushka kile iya na ha, Gnugnushka okya kine, hey, Kola, hiwo. He said, come on, let's go pick our food, dry it, and get it ready for winter. But the grasshopper kept telling him, no, man, I want to have fun. I want to enjoy this nice weather and sunshine. I want to eat as I'm going along, and which grasshoppers still do to this day when there's plenty of wild weeds and alfalfa and so forth, wild clover. So one day, he forgot about preparing his food and drying it and putting it away, and here a big storm came in. So the cricket felt bad because he looked at all his cricket people and said, hey, our brother, the Gnugnushka, I wonder how he is. Maybe we should take some food to him and find him. So they went to the grasshopper camp, and there he wasn't there with them. And he said, wondered why. He started crying, feeling bad for his brother. He told the grasshopper people that, I told my brother, come on. But he was so happy because of the seasons. And we do get that way when seasons of goodness change and they come in. We start getting happy of the nice sun and all that great stuff. Well, in that story that Grandma taught me many years ago, the cricket still felt bad for his brother because they're the same. They have the same legs, same everything, but they're different color. The crickets are black, where the color purple comes from. And the Gnugnushka, the grasshopper, he's all colors. That's why he can camouflage himself in the wild. So as it started getting colder, they came up to this camp. And here there were all these Lakota warriors, the Stronghearts and the Kit Foxes and the Bear Lance owners and, Big Bellies and, you know, all of these guys were sitting there. They were eating in this campfire. They got some fresh kills, some fresh meat to take back. So they were eating what they could as they had everything all cut up in sections and wrapped in buffalo hides. They found a herd of buffalo to feed the people to get them through the winter. And so the cricket, he walked the bottom and he was looking for his brother and he couldn't find him. And he's crying now. He's crying to go home that, hey, his brother's gone. And here, as he was going, he seen somebody's legs facing up in the air and he found his brother. He was froze. The grasshopper was froze to death. The moral of the story of what my grandma Cecilia was telling me, she said, when we pay attention to the wisdom of our ancestors, this is the tool of our future survival, of how we're going to sustain ourselves. And so when he found his brother frozen, he got some heat from the warriors and put a fire around him to thaw him out and wrapped him up and made a travel and drug him back to the grasshopper people and told him, I found him. And all the food that he had for him, he put it on the body of the grasshopper to take with him on his journey to the spirit world. The moral of the story was, when excitement and seasons of change come, we are to prepare for what comes as them seasons get cold. That's what grandmother was telling me. And when they say, Tokatakya ichishkopo, meaning prepare for the future, that's what they were saying. And so to this day, at the age of 63, I revitalized that understanding according to what, you know, Sister Etta just said about, you know, how her people, you know, talked about the star people. Because even that, the star people have a remarkable story within the Lakotas. And one day we'll get to that, you know. But in the meantime, Metake pitona hoch lech tatuki. We choke ogna le wolagota unglagok pikile near checha hochi chapi. Che chuhant akulena unchimit hockey ospema kekile kokata kya ispewa. Hotakule na isha ospema ke ieke tu. Wichake. Homwana le isam le tokata ukina zipikile. Wolak hotogna. Waglake. Ichash has a pikehena mu. Hoheta hotakule na. Oakpe het hakike he you hawk te hota. Wasloik lena tokel oateki. Hena chik chik al ospe chaki. Naha. Unchion kit hopi le chala woglake ki he. He isha ilechet, wichakhe. So ho hechus e wop hekele chichubi, lakote echetia. Wana yeska wate. I said it in our language because it's beautiful to use that about the story of what my grandma had taught me. And the same thing goes with, you know, our sister Etta. Because nobody cares about listening to the elders anymore in the year 2020. 13 years ago, I see struggles here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Well, I'm not in Pine Ridge, I'm on the road. But on Pine Ridge, I seen the struggles of what was deteriorating amongst my elders. And believe me, they wanted to pass stories and different understandings on to the youth. But the youth were caught up with drugs and different, you know, necessities through the sociological deformatory that was created by white people. They chose that rather than listening to grandma. And so a lot of these grandparents of ours that pass on, they leave because the grandkids don't believe in them anymore because of this sociological deformatory. White man is to blame. It's hard for us to reconnect that balance because we want his way of thinking. We want his way of living. We want his way of value. We want it all from him because they think it's easy to have that, when in fact it's not true. The white man's way of life is to destroy you within and without. And that's his game plan. No different than that man that just left office and got replaced with another man that's going to have the same concept. And when you look at that same sickness that's being forced upon us with this coronavirus and this COVID-19, these are fictional things that these people created to reduce the level of poverty-stricken people, and it's mainly the children and elders. You see, this is how barbaric these people are, and they're going to do it in the face of humanity. And you don't hear tribal governments, you don't hear anybody pointing a finger at them, because if the Great Mystery himself did this, he's going to warn you. He's going to tell you through spiritual connections of what you believe in, and that's how the Great Mystery does it. But he didn't do this. They did that. And it's the population control to take away our elders and babies. Because anymore, when you look at the human contents of how people, you know, utilize the work ethic, and this is no offense to people that got to survive and use the white man's terminology of, you know, work employment, okay? This is no assault to them. What I'm saying is, yes, we need a necessity from them. And it's called money. It's a necessity. It ain't a value. They stamped a value on it when they stuck that mark in God we trust, thinking that it's wrong to steal money. But the white man steals every day. Even today, on Christmas Day, he's still stealing. He's stealing the mind and the hearts of our children. No matter what color and nationality they are, the white man is always going to use that devil called Santa Claus to do that. And this is what's still continuously as an effort in the futures to come if we don't change it. I'm grateful serving our people in a different mechanism, but they're going to grow out of it by getting them a candy bag. It's the best gift I can give them. Peanuts and an apple and an orange and, you know, little hard candies. That's what I do, the Strong Heart Warrior Society. And we try to help other tribes in the same predicament. But I don't wish this on all of them. No. Eventually, they got to be told why Christmas had occurred. And so Christianity created this to steal the hearts and the minds of children. And that's how they force you in that gift-giving to love your mom and dad, which is wrong. Just like Sister Etta said, every day is Christmas in indigenous culture. And that's true. Nothing otherwise. Every day is a Thanksgiving. Our way of life is not compared to that white man, but he reduced us to his level. So now we're following him. And so as I give it back to you, because I know I'm going to lose reception, I'm going to go down this gully, I want everyone to really pick up this understanding and look at those countries. All those countries that once had a nuclear bomb, okay? These white people went over to neutralize them, but they forgot. Those guys had that because you taught them how to get it. And so they're protecting their own people, and now you want to take it away from them, thinking that America is a great country. America is a full of shit country. It's a lying country. It's a barbaric country. It's full of hate. If that's blasphemy, so be it.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. It's the most incarcerated country in the world.
Oh.
Men and women are incarcerated along with children. And Americans, you white people, and many other that are patriotic, you're to blame.
Okay, so he must have hit a gully. So, area code 111 and area code 781, would you like to come on and introduce yourselves and tell us what state you're calling from?
Now, this is Lanny from Digby, South Dakota, Cheyenne River Reservation.
Hi, Lanny. Are you the one that's 1440?
No, I'm 781-392-6814.
Whoa, okay. So what have you got for us today?
Oh, I just got on. I'm not really, I don't know what the topic is. And I just heard Chinupa come on, and he said he was going. He was losing reception, so I don't really know what we were going over yet.
Oh, just a quick recap. He was talking about how the European society is pretty much transforming the hearts and the minds of children and taking that away from them because of the forced holidays on everybody. On the natives, in other words. And so then Etta was talking about star knowledge and the things that were happening on her reservation. And Jenny was earlier talking about pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I believe there is a lot of truth to that. A part of me, you know, we have to live our lives, and, you know, because, you know, we come from Mother Earth, and we come from the stars, and the, there are ceremonies that we have to perform because we belong to this land. You know, and, you know, we have to make those spirit plates, you know, we have to feed the spirits, you know, we have to feed the spirits on the full moon. You know, we have to do these ceremonies. We have to sweat. We have to do all of these things. So there's a part of that that I see that we're losing because, you know, we're not involving our youth as much as we should. And, that's kind of a detriment to us, but there's an aspect to all of this where you have to be strong. You know, you have to get out there and you got to cut that extra wood for your ceremonies and gather those rocks. But that mm-hmm. That lifestyle that we live, you know, that keeps us strong. You know, when you get out there and you got to cut wood for your sweat. And you got to cut wood for your house, and you got to go gather rocks, and you got to go gather medicine. You got to do all these things, and what you see is how dependent you are on Mother Nature. And when you get closer and closer to her, you know, it starts to reveal more things to you as you live this life. You know, but we're losing that because our youth, you know, we're not bringing our youth out as much, but also there's that loss of the land too. Like here on Cheyenne River, you know, the cattle industry is big, And what we're allowing to happen here is we're allowing those guys that own the range units to think they own the land. So now when we start getting disconnect from this land is our medicine, you know. We got to go out there and we got to gather that cedar. We got to gather that sage. We got to gather our berries, you know, because those are medicines. But what's happening along with this industrialization and these co-ops, cooperations, and all these things that kind of cut the grain of who we are as a people. Now we're going to do that for the sake of a dollar. And for the sake of that dollar, you know, when you go outside, I just come back and feed my horses, and I'm just getting over this COVID, you know. And I was really depressed. But when I get out there amongst in the country, you know, and I got to be with my animal, you know, it gives me that strength. But I could see where this is a dying lifestyle, even for Indians, you know, because we're getting this disconnection from the land. A lot of us don't heat with wood anymore. We heat with propane, and we're coming in off of the off the land into town. And we're losing that connection with the land, and so in a lot of ways it's our own fault. And other aspects, there's a lot that's going against us. You know, these big powers that went into play with the Dawes Act that started to separate us from our land and divide that up is still a force that's going on to this moment right now, to where, you know, our kids are suffering. And that's still a form of genocide, you know. And now a lot of non-natives are coming in here and have a lot of influence. The non-native has more influence on our reservation. And if he has cows, oh, my God, you know, that guy can walk on water, you know. And they'll bend over backwards to take care of this guy. But at the same time, we got kids that are starving here and kids that go to sleep hungry. So the aspect of that, where we start to idolize the dollar over what we have and what we have with this land and this medicine and this culture, I mean, that right there, if you lose that, you're just going to lose everything, you know. And so we're going down a road that gets rougher and rougher. And if we don't take a stand right now as a people to correct these wrongs, then we're going to lose it forever. Then we're going to be a lost people, and we're going to lose it to drugs. We're going to lose it to alcohol. But a lot of that, again, is we have this modern world that is pushed upon us. So there's a certain amount of adapting that you have to live with as a native. And you have to adapt. You have to go out and get educated. And you have to do those things in the outside world in order to succeed. But you can still be a Lakota. You could still be whatever native you are. Practice all your ceremonies and still be successful. Because if each and every one of us doesn't do that, then we're kind of we're going to lose it for everybody, for our children and grandchildren. So I could see where they're coming from with that. You know, it's one of those things, you know, and I don't want to say that part of the problem, you're part of the solution, because or if you're part of the problem, are you part of the solution? You know, when some of us just want to live our lives, but when you say you're part of the problem, are you part of the solution? Those are really strong words to use, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we really need to advocate for our future, because, you know, like with this COVID that went through here in Cheyenne River, it decimated a ton of our elders. And I don't know how many, you know, and those were all Lakota language speakers, you know. So that's a big detriment, you know. And then, you know, elders too, you know, with all of their knowledge. I mean, if I have a problem, I want to know something, you know, I call an elder and I talk to them, or I go talk to one of them and see them, and, you know, it's like going into a room and turning the light on, you know. So we're losing that connection to Mother Earth. And I want to tell a story. You know, this last time I went to Bear Butte, and I went and fasted on Bear Butte. On my last day, I went to the top of the mountain, you know, and I was praying up there, and there was a sea of clouds as far as you could see off into the horizon. The clouds were all along like an ocean. And I began to sing, and the fog, those clouds were coming up, that fog was coming up the mountain, and it was working its way up to the top. And I was praying, and I start to sing a song. And when I would sing that song, you know, the clouds, that fog, would all push back. It would push back, and it would go back down the hill, like the distance my voice went. And that cloud cleared out, you know, all along the ground, right? And then I finished that song, and then those clouds would come back together, that fog would come back together, and it would start rushing back up toward the mountain, and then I'd sing another song, and then it would start pushing back down, you know? And so it did that for four songs. And I thought about that for a long time, and I thought about, know, wow, that's you know, why would God show you that? But understanding that, having a better understanding of that, you know, we're part of this. We're part of Mother Earth. You know, we're part of the connection. So as natives, we're part of this, and God to us, that's, he's the mystery, but he's our relative too. Now, with the European sense, it is, they'll say, well, this church is this and that, and they like to put God into this little, you know, container, which is convenient. But for us, this is every day, you know, this is every day. But when you get out there and you can make this connection with Mother Earth, where you get into tune with Mother Earth. And there was other things that I seen there that were equally amazing. And at the time, you don't think about it. And then you'll remember a dream that you were given when you were a young person, or a dream you were given 8 years ago, when I'll reference what happened here on this hill, you know. So this is the life that we live. As natives, if we want to live this life and fulfill who we are as a native, then that gets really tough. You know, you're pulled because you want to go gather your medicines and you want to go do these things, but then you still have a job that you might have to go do. And in this modern society, in order to make money, you're going to have to go do those things, but that tears you away from gathering your medicines and doing your things and breaking your horses and doing all these things that you love to do that makes us Lakotas and keeps us strong and getting ready for winter, you know. Like, I had so much work I had to do here this last 2 weeks when I got COVID, and you know, we had good weather. And I was just hanging on, just trying to live, you know. And now that my strength is back, but now it's going to be all cold weather, and I have to get out there, and I still have to do all those things. But you know, I'm just going to do it when it's cold out. But that's life, you know. So I understand. I can see where they're coming from, and I hope that this kind of adds to and supports the topic we're talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. Can whoever's calling from 111111 please say something? You want to get on and say anything? Okay, Jenny, back to you.
Yeah, Bernice, Jenny? This is Jenny. Listen to what Lanny was saying. And that's good. He understands and knows what it is to get after and do all those things, especially for ceremonies and what. But thinking about, you know, when he was talking about his fasting, and then talking about dreams, okay. And when we talk about dreams, there's one that, you know, comes to mind that really, I guess, inspires me every time I look back at it, because that dream that was shown to me actually came to reality. And it's a dream, though. In this dream, I am, like, looking down into a lodge up here at the woman's Okan, the woman's ceremony. And I tried to make my granddaughter be quiet. But anyhow, in this dream, I'm looking down into this lodge. And in this lodge,
Jenny?
Yeah, I had to move to a different area to get signal again. But anyhow, in this lodge, I was looking down into it. And in this lodge, I seen there was nothing but women. And how I knew it was women, because if you actually go to the lodge, you'll see how the woman sat. And they were all in white, like beautiful white dresses, buckskin dresses. And they all had long, beautiful black hair. And the way they were sitting, how we sit with our legs straight out, and we keep all of our legs, whatever, covered up. We don't let it show our skin or nothing. And they had their hands on their lap, like their heads were down, like they were waiting for somebody. When I seen that, and next thing, what I seen on the outside the lodge was nothing but children were dancing. All the children were dancing outside that lodge. And when I seen that, when the children were dancing, then I seen all of our flags of our native people, nations, were they all dropped over that lodge. When I come out of that dream, I always say when I come out of real dreams like that, I shake. Because it's so real. And I couldn't understand at the time what that was telling me. So here, maybe a couple of months later, is when I get the phone call from my brother asking me to come home, that he needed my help to support him. He was going to be pierced. But he wasn't going to be pierced at that lodge, because that's the woman's lodge. It's only fasting. But he was going to be pierced at another lodge. So at the time, I thought, well, maybe it was about my brother, but I knew it couldn't be, because there was nobody on the pole. There was nobody piercing. So us, we all have, if you actually say you were raised the traditional way, then you'll have a mentor. Usually that's your parents or your grandparents, but when they're gone, you'll have other mentors. So we have to reach out to them and tell them we need to speak with them and bring our tobaccos and our smudges and share that with them to help yourself, for them to help you too, to know the interpretation of that dream. But here I was thinking it was about my brother, and here it was, and it was about me.
Oh, wow.
So I had to go make that lodge, and I did. And when I got there, my brother wanted to drop me off. But I had gotten a hold of my uncle, which became my main mentor. And I explained it to him, and he said, okay, I'm going to take you under my wing. He said, I'm going to show you where you need to go. But I had to talk to another man before him, and he directed me too. So I had three men that directed me to the same one. And it was about my grandma. My great-grandma, she was the one that wanted me back there to show her, to her to show me, you know, the lodge. Because she was one of the original keepers of that lodge during her days. So it's really important, you know, for us to, it's like going to a doctor getting three different, you know, understandings. And if it's all the same, then okay, but with our way, it's even more than that. So after that happened with me, and during that time at the lodge there, I got two transfers just like that. And how they transfer is by knowledge. So with those two transfers, you know, I knew that that was all real. Became more real than I understood at the, you know, at the beginning of questioning what was that all about, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how I know our ways are real. They are real if you understand it right. It has nothing to do with what the white man tries to say against it, about it, or what. That's why I always say I'll never turn my back on our old ones, because a lot of them have come back and they go into the younger generation through their dreams and trying to help them to understand these things that are going on today. And why is that? Because I always tell them, because they know we don't have real leadership. Even the ones today that are doing ceremonies, not all of them, but there's a majority of them that are misusing and abusing it. And they don't realize how much that hurts us because it's spiritual.
Yep.
We have to get that right. We have to give it as much, you know, the way it was given. Think about how I like to, about how my grandpa and them were, how they were teaching us about sharing, how taking care of something and how you give that to another person after a year or what. That was through the giveaway dances, which we call the punch dances. And that was usually in November. So our grandma and grandpa, when they would have their ceremonies, people would come from Canada, different areas. All the gifts that were given to my grandma, she would put them in the room. She never kept nothing for herself. They never do that stuff. They didn't sell anything. It wasn't theirs. It belonged to the people. So they would take all them gifts, and that's what they would have during November. That's what I felt like Christmas was to me, because there was no tree in our grandparents' house. Every time I see them decorating any type of tree is when they were putting their offerings up in those trees and stuff, their tithes. So that's what Christmas meant to me, you know, was seeing those tithes and everything in those trees, and then them taking all those gifts to the people. And it was a time of celebration because it was fun to give those gifts away. You would punch dance with the one that you're giving it to. And then when you receive it, you keep it for a year, and then you give it to somebody else that's following you. That was a part of helping them. So I miss those days. I miss those times, you know. That's why I say, though, but we can't say it's gone. We can't say, you know, that because it's still here. But the most important thing I always say before anything, too, is, yeah, we can talk all these stories, but we got to remember, too, the government's after our lands, and they always have been. So we need to focus on that, too. We got to have our territories, our foundation to who we are. Without it, then who are we? But, yeah, I liked what Lanny had to say.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
Thank you. So one thing I think
what really kind of bothers me, and it's been bothering me ever since I was a teenager, is tribal government, tribal leadership. You know, they're always embezzling. They're always taking money from this program, that program. And I always think in my heart that one day the government actually, with the stroke of a pen, is going to take our land away because our people are embezzling, and our people, the ones that are relying on tribal government in the communities, they depend on our tribal leadership, and our tribal leadership is failing us because all they want to do is embezzle, embezzle, embezzle. And that's going to leave us in a real dire situation in the future, where that's a real possibility that our land can be taken away from us because we're just showing the world here that we're not capable of business administration, we're not capable of cash handling, we're not capable of documenting where these monies go to, how they're spent, no receipts, things like that. So that really puts a big fear in me, because one day my great-grandkids may not have a homeland or a home base, and so that really kind of scares me.
Yeah, this is Bryce. I really agree with what you're saying.
Hi, Bryce.
About water, land, and air, and life forms, and life itself. When you have, it's obvious if you pay attention to what's happening in D.C., because we're coming into this changing of another president. The state governments, some are good and some aren't, you know. South Dakota is rated in the top 10 most corrupt, you know, governments, and tribal governments when it comes to land, like what Lanny brought up. But if you have a lease agreement, let's say with WAPA or the Corps of Engineers, when you're along the Missouri River, and all this consultation that a lot of our people, a lot of the tribal governments were fighting for consultation with the federal government and the federal agencies. Because they have 13 secretaries that are presidentially appointed, like the Secretary of Interior or the Secretary of Treasury. In this case, Secretary of Interior, they have these committees underneath them. And let's say Energy, Secretary of Energy. But WAPA, the Western Area Power Administration, and the Army Corps of Engineers there, one has issues water permits. That's a big battle today. Water is something that really seriously they have to look at. And if you have a tribal government under the Indian Reorganization Act without consultation, which the federal, every secretary that's appointed since Obama mandated that they all come up with tribal government consultation policy. And we just had an action here without even letting our people know there's a lease coming up regarding hydropower. That's what Western Air Power Administration is about, WAPA. They give a percentage out, a percentage of this hydroelectric power, which we need to be negotiating that. And if a chairman signs a lease, 30-year lease, without even telling tribal council, he signed it and sent the letter, and then having the council turn around and make a motion to support that, and it passes. That's what you're talking about. Without even letting the people know, you already have a 30-year lease, which means by December 31st, which is next Thursday, people don't say anything, and we have four bands here, which are totally ignored. And we have four bands that speak Lakota here, the Tukettle, and the Minikoju, the Siasapa, the Blackfoot, and the Tukettle. So those four Lakota speaking. So they're totally not even represented, yet they're the true owners here, the people with Gundam bands. They have the authority, but you have a type of a corporate chartered government. If you read the Indian Organization Act, it was to usurp the traditional government. And if you look back in the 30s, and I think all the governments were going through that, and some were terminated, and the Ute came because of this. The Ute came and they were crossed through Wyoming because they didn't agree with that, the opening up these reservations and another land grab, which was in 1910. And those Ute came to Thunder Butte here, and they stayed a year under military. You know, the U.S. Army was surrounding them. They moved them past the woods. There's a graveyard over here in Thunder Butte. And those Ute come because they want to know if they have any relatives here. And that's something, you know, because how do we bridge that to get the original peoples back to sharing with each other? But we have to address this corruption from these tribal governments that won't ask for free and prior and informed consent from the people. And that's what you're saying when they don't even ask the people or let the people know.
Yeah.
And they make these types of actions for a 30-year lease without telling the people. And then maybe two of you say oppose it and let them know that, you know, not bringing up the treaty, but thinking that common sense will intervene, because intelligence doesn't intervene sometimes with these council reps that are elected, not by the majority of the people either. And it seems like we really need a lot of intelligence and common sense from our elected officials who are elected, but they're not appointed. And that's the big difference between traditional government, which is appointed, and these IRA governments, which are elected. And you don't get the bang for the buck sometimes, and that's what you're talking about. Them making action without really thinking about tomorrow, not really thinking about the young people that are behind you, totally ignoring that, you know, thinking. So they're falling right in place with what you're saying about losing land, water. Now they got water that is a commodity, so it's going to, it's like gold, like what our elders are telling us. Someday you'll be paying for water, and then someday water is going to be like gold. And now it's on the market now, water. And that's what I was telling council, but instead of trying to research and try to really come to a real solid decision for the people, that's where that saying about rubber stamped, you know, it was rubber stamped.
Yeah.
Now we need a movement here. I'm glad Lanny's on the line. And because we got to make a movement for the four bands that are here, because they're actually disrespecting the elders without even asking the elders, letting them know that this is coming and get their input. They're disrespectful. They're ignorant. They're arrogant. Mm-hmm. That's not Lakota. That's not indigenous leadership. That's more like these guys, the Republicans out in D.C., you know, who are paid by corporate America to do their bidding for them and heck with the American people. So it's a huge government, federal, state, and tribal. Mm-hmm. So I want to mention one thing about ceremonies, because we had a guy named Chicken Bear from Ireland, west of Ireland, one of our communities here. He went out as a scout and a delegate to see Wovoka. Wovoka was having that ghost dance, but that was misinterpreted, but it was a spiritual movement. And he came back and he helped Blackhawk when Blackhawk went into ghost dance. He was one of the ones that brought that dance back to where we're at. So my brother lives out there with the Paiute. There was an elder Paiute that seen something shining on the hill. So he went over there. And it was a chinupa. It was a pipe. So he wanted to know what that was, where it came from. What does it mean? So some Lakotas went out there, and they had a Luwampi. And they told that elder that this was a gift from Sitting Bull to the Paiute. So keep that Chanupa, that's yours. He gave it to the Paiutes. So those elders want to meet here because it's in this area. And there was a ghost dance last down by Cherry Creek, one of our oldest communities in South Dakota. It's called Cherry Creek, oldest inhabited community. They had a ghost dance there before the Wounded Knee. And they wanted to have some elders here wanted to have a ghost dance. And at that time, some other elders wanted to have a horse dance. So this ghost dance, because of what we were told, we're thinking about bringing that ghost dance back because of this pandemic. Now you're hearing that there's nanotechnology in that virus, this mRNA, they call it. This Moderna and this Pfizer vaccine, they have nanotechnology. And man, what does that do? You know, they're saying if you have allergies at this virus, your body will attack that nano particle that they have in there. This GMO, more or less, this genetically modified virus. So our body would fight it, and what's happening is to have a real allergic reaction that could be life-threatening. It happened twice in Britain, but they're stating here in the United States there was 8 cases. So our body is fighting back on this man-made nanotechnology, and that's very alarming. And we have to look at spiritually healing our bodies, not with man-made vaccines. And that's why we need to look at our ceremonies and what are the real meaning of our ceremonies. It's being humble and communicating directly. What is it that you want? And all of you, in your mind, you have to think together on that. That's very difficult to do, to have 30, 40, 50, 100 people around a circle and all think one in unison of one thing. That's what it's going to take now. And we need to do that. That's being humble and being together on that issue of getting rid of what? Or getting rid of this virus? Yeah, let's do that, you know. I'm just mentioning that because we're going to try to spearhead that. And I asked the Paiute brothers to come in on that too, because this is what's going to save us. It's going to strengthen our spirit and strengthen our body, because I don't want this these vaccines. Not after, you know, this nanotechnology. We really need to understand that when man manipulates at a molecular structure at that level in the atom, where they go into the T cell and they manipulate the DNA for this mRNA to get in there, saying that this is what's going to fight the virus. Just think what man could do if they manipulated any other way to go into your DNA. What else can they do? It's kind of where the creation of artificial intelligence or any other thing that you can think of. It's not good, and we need to combat this, because Wakantanka, the great mystery, will intervene in everything. So what is the one thing that we can do together, you know? I think this virus could pull our families and communities together to pray hard. Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to say that. Palama Palo.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to hear my conscience bringing up, you know, some of the spiritual stuff. Lachala, what he said was, you know, in a sense of how our people, you know, aligned themselves with other tribes to dance, and the ghost dance, you know, was performed on his res. Black Elk, you know, down here in the areas of where we're from, he had a similar encounter with this kind of stuff, and so did Short Bull and a few others. Matter of fact, Short Bull and them guys that went to go see, you know, Wovoka, you know, English name Jack Wilson, they went to go see this Paiute Messiah. And when they came back, the stories were in a different predicament. But what he was telling them was that he's seen all the old ones from ancient times, you know, that the way they believed in it was we'd be the return of the people through the buffalo. And that understanding is still kind of, it's not contrary, it's just a belief in it. I wasn't around, you know, when the people were hanging on to the cultural understanding from it. I learned. But as I'm still
Anybody else want to jump in there real quick while he's going through a dip?
Yeah, this is Etta here. you know, you're totally right on as far as our leaders that's supposed to be helping the people. Here on the Navajo Nation, we have... right now, till December 30th, on the CARE Act fund that came from Washington. So then the council throws the legislation in there, $1,500 to adults, $500 to children, people to send their application. Then the controller hires somebody from Texas, a multimillion company. And, you know, they allowed her to do that. The council that I highlighted that to when I text them and I tried to call them, they're not very good leaders, because good leaders will return your phone calls that wants to help the people. That's what I tell them. So I told them, who hired the controller? And I told the council, you gave the authority. So now she hires somebody. Now, I said, most of the funds is going to that company, and now you're saying you're putting everything on hold. Then you're also saying that you don't have the information on the vital records, but the BIA office does. So these are the type of things that the Navajo Nation never did, as what's coming out. So due to all this, it brought, you know, the virus, the COVID-19, because our older folks and our traditional healers, our Hatuati, said, don't make a name for it. You don't ever make a name for nothing, you know? So they say, I'm not going to say COVID-19. And that's straightforward what they put. So now, it's on hold, and here it is, and they're rolling things around, and, you know, you can go to NavajoNationCouncil.org and every draft of legislation they put. So now it's like they run to Uncle Sam. They're not exercising the treaty tribe, so, but we can, because we're the ones that put them in office and hired them. We should be able to remove them. And that's what I told them. It's our decisions, what I tell the people, and educating them. We are the ones that can tell them to get off the chair. I said, this is a big mistake they made. And the president is over here. And then the council is over here. And then the DOJ and the judiciary is over here. And these people are already paid. They're already being paid. And they're asking for more money, see? So it's just so confusing that a lot of people, we lost trust in them.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago, the way they do things. But I'm staying on top of certain things that concern me is what the treaty says. And we can do something. Read your treaty. Whatever treaty you have. Because there is something that they cannot do under the BIA and running to Uncle Sam. But what we can do as the people to protect the land for our grandkids and our children, you know, it can be done because they're not exercising the treaty. And that's what all of us, we need to do is really look back into the treaty. And we should be able to be a government to government, nation to nation, territory, and this is our country.
That's right.
And if you sign the treaty, you're like sitting like Mexico and United States. Right now, United States is using all the Indian tribe like a pyramid. And if all the tribe went on their own, guess what? There's not going to be not that much number under United States to hold on to United States as a, mm-hmm. as they call themselves, United States of America. So us treaty tribes, the tribes are the ones that are, that's why the BIA is in there. The BIA is holding the string right in the middle, like a pyramid. So if you cut that string and get rid of, kick out the BIA, guess what? United States of America is not going to be the nation that they say they are. It's the Indian tribes and the land that's still tied to the treaty and to the people.
Exactly.
So I want to lift everybody's spirit to just keep fighting, keep standing your ground, and you're doing the right thing for our grandkids and our children, and that's what our focus is. Thank you.
Thank you, Etta. We've got 7 minutes left in the show. Anybody else?
Yes, it is exactly right that the grandmothers and the women have a lot of authority. When they were trying to pass these 1877, you know, these acts back in 1887, the Lob Nol Act, 1889, that stole more land. And the 68 Treaty was male print, thumbprint. And it seemed like the women, you know, have carried the freedom of our nation ever since that. It's supposed to be a supreme law of the land that's been dishonored against the men. But the women have never signed that. So you still have the freedom and independence as our grandmas from way back.
So then
the women and grandmas need to stand, and the men need to back it up.
So would it be safe to say that we need to create a women's circle that specifically deals with treaties? Because after all, you know, the women are really the backbone, and they really are tenacious when it comes to standing up for what they believe in is right. And a lot of the Native women are so staunch on their beliefs that they're willing to go to jail for this. So is it safe to say that maybe one day we might be able to create a circle of women that deals specifically with treaties?
I believe that families, if you look at the treaties, it says households, mm-hmm. head of households. The women were in charge of the families.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where our powers are, our families in Teoshpa. That's our structure. And
yeah.
that's where we've really been done a number on, you know. But I think if the families can get together and our extended families, you have the numbers then. You could decide a lot of things. And when we pull together, we can decide a lot of things.
Yeah. So we've got 4 minutes and 24 seconds left in the show. So anyway, I guess as an afterthought to all of this, talking about treaties, would it be possible at all now or in the future to do a new treaty with the U.S. government?
No.
So you'd suggest just continue to use the articles of 1864, 1868?
If you're a treaty tribe, you're a treaty tribe.
Yeah.
You are a nation within a nation, a government with a government, which our leaders are being misled now.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep on top of these things, what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because we're like United Nations. We can, just like the way these other countries have their own government. That's who we are. And United States is trying to control. That's what I'm saying. We got to do what we got to do to protect that. Our leaders that are in there, the Western way, is not 100% a treaty person.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're exercising. In other words, they have a one side of their leg has a white man's pants, and one side of them, they're trying to be a Indian tribe.
Yeah.
You can't wear two pants. So we are it. We are the people. We are tied to the land, the treaty is. We should not redo or whatever, but get your title back. Bring it home, and that can happen. And
mm-hmm.
I know the change is here because of what the stars are telling us right now. Because they're very powerful. It's very powerful. And we got to pray about it and get that spiritual guidance. That's what I got to share with you.
Okay. Thank you. So we got 1 minute. We're winding down now. Anybody else? You want to close with a song, somebody?
Yeah, I can. I could close this with a song.
90 seconds.
Wakan Kanka Tunka Shela Ye Ho Ye Wa Ye Lo Ae Wakankanka Tunka Shila Liye Ho Ye Wa Ye Lo Daku Wakan Nami Che Ho Ye Lo Oye Wakankanka Tunka Shila Ni e ho ye wa ye lo hai Wa kan ka tu ka shi la Ni e ho ye wa ye lo Da ku wa kan na mi che ho ye lo Hai
Thank you. 10 seconds left. Thank you, everybody, for calling in and joining Blog Talk Radio. And we'll see you guys tomorrow evening. So good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.